rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. God is good. Not just some of the time, but God is good all of the time. And all the time, God is good. I don't know about you, but I'm just happy to see a new year and thank God that I'm still alive. Blood running warm in my veins, an opportunity to continue to strive for that heavenly home where the street is gold and the walls are jasper, where God will be, and there will be no more crying and dying, more funerals and hospitals. None of this we see today will be something we'd have to worry about. No more worries. God is good. So I'm just thankful. Hopefully you're thankful to be alive this morning and you're grateful that God has blessed you with the many blessings that he's bestowed upon us, just from the breath we breathe, air we breathe, the water we drink, the food and clothing and raiment. Most importantly, we have an opportunity to save our precious soul. When we make mistakes, we can ask God to forgive us if we've been born again in the water and of the Spirit. That's the beautiful thing about being a Christian. If you're on the call today, you're not a Christian. In the churches of Christ, we believe that the Bible is right, and every word of the Bible is right. Yes, we believe in Jesus the Christ, who hung, bled, and died on Calvary, with nails in his hands and in his feet. Suffered on that cross for 6 long hours and shed his blood. But according to this book, we'll wash our sins away in baptism. That same blood purchased his church. The only church you read about in the Bible, the Church of Christ. When a person believes the Bible, then they'll believe in one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, and yes, one church, Ephesians 4:4-6. And that church, according to Romans 16:16, Apostle Paul says, salute one another, holy kiss, the churches of Christ, salute you. So we salute you this morning with that trust that you will believe that the Bible is right over you and me. That you would take in its instructions, for God has given it to us. All scriptures given by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all. So if a person wants to be saved, they have to believe that with all their heart, repent of their sins, confess Jesus to be the Son of God, to be born again of the water, be baptized in the Lord with answer to the church. I always take the time at the beginning of my sermon to tell a person what they must do to be saved. Yeah, you need to know that. They're members of the church. You have to live faithful. We have to live faithful unto death. We too can die in our sins. We don't live according to the scriptures. No such thing. Once saved, always saved. So we're grateful to have our members of the church, visitors who are visiting with us, not members of the Church of Christ, and those who are members from other congregations. We welcome all of you to our call. Now, in Acts chapter 8, continue our study of the book of Acts. Been a great study so far. The book of Acts is a great study. I really focus on, with all the unrest in the world, I think this is, in my opinion, the greatest thing we can do for the world. I was talking to someone yesterday. Well, how are we going to help this situation? Preach the gospel. When a person is a Christian, they won't do some things we see going on in this world. Amen. We don't pick and choose sides. We pick Christ. Right is right and wrong is wrong, no matter who do it. No matter who do it, what color skin they are, wrong is wrong, sin. The sin and the danger of sin is that you could die in your sin. And that those souls that Jesus died for, even Pilate. Pilate. You know Jesus died for Pilate even though he had him whipped and beaten. He was a governor, a political figure. But Jesus asked on the day of judgment, on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was able to. The very people who beat him with the whip, Jesus was able to forgive them and still understand that he was dying for their sins. He died for mine and he died for yours. Greatest thing we can do for this world is learn how to do what we're going to learn about this morning. Preach Jesus to people. Christians don't act like that. Christians know how to conduct themselves. The world will be a better place if the whole world filled with Christians. And unfortunately, Jesus said in Matthew 7:13-14, "Any ye in that strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction." He said many will go that way. That's the way of the devil. That's the way of the devil. The majority of the world is following the way of the devil. They're walking in darkness. They're led by the evil influences of spirits. The Bible talks about that. Seductive spirits. For the spirit speaketh expressly in that latter time, that time we now live in. Some shall depart from the faith, the true faith of the scripture. Giving heed, notice this, to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. All the stuff you're seeing on native violence is devils. It's doctrines of devils. People are following nothing but the devil when they do things that we see. Some of the stuff we've seen today, this week in our national, in the Capitol, that was all devilish behavior, no matter who it was. Amen. From the White House to the outhouse. When people don't do right, it's the devil influencing. That's what the book says. Yeah, it's the devil. The devil is involved in all this evil stuff. You can't even spell devil, you got to spell evil. D-E-V-I-L. What's going on in the world? Evil stuff going on in the world. That's what's going on. There's no doubt in my mind what's happening. Yeah, the Bible says they will give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot head. It don't bother these people. To marry, same-sex marriage on TV, to see homosexual kissing, that doesn't bother folk conscience these days. What do you think we're doing? What are we dealing with here? We're dealing with people who are not Christians. We're dealing with people who their father is the devil. That's what we're dealing with. Let's call it what it is. Spade or spade, what they say. If it's black, it's black. Spade is a spade. Christians don't act like that. They don't act like that stuff we saw on TV. So, don't get shook up over one thing. Everything we've seen this year through our lives that is wrong, is evil, devilish. It's devilish. And any Christian who follow that is just as devilish as those who are doing it. Amen. Somebody. So you got to say, what's going on, brother? How are we going to help the world? Like Philip helped this man here. That's what we're looking at. That's why my upfront statement is this, is that what Philip is doing and what God wants us to be doing, this is what we should be doing. We should pray for everyone. We should be trying to save the world, save everybody. Amen. We pray for everybody. We don't leave nobody out. We pray for everyone. Amen. That's what we're doing. So in Acts chapter 8, verse 26, the book says here, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Now, at the sermon title this morning, the eunuch said, see, here's water. That's Acts 8:35-36. But we started verse 26 to see why did he say that? Why did he make that statement? Here's Philip. This same Philip was selected. Remember back in Acts 6, he was selected to help with the Grecian widows. This is the same Philip that preached in Samaria. Now the angel of the Lord is sending him to a place in the desert called Gaza. Key word. I want to emphasize here, is that he was sent and he went, but it was in the desert. Now, notice, Philip didn't question the angel. He didn't question. Notice verse 27, he said he arose and went. And so he arose and went. You never know how the Lord will use you. Just be obedient is the message of importance here. Is that when God said go, we go. He rose and went. And let me say something else. See, keep in mind that we often function by the providence of God. Where God provides Christians who are believers and are obedient to the truth, that teach the truth, he will provide them to those who are seeking the truth. See, I don't believe that if you're on the call today and this morning and you're not a member of the Church of Christ and you've been seeking truth, that you accidentally called into this call. If you believe that God is all seeing and all knowing, God knows what you're looking for. He knows you're looking for simple truth. And you don't listen to Brother Brooks because you're going to hear anything. You're not going to hear no anything from me. You're going to hear from me some straight shots, some straight shooting. Amen. I'm not trying to hoodwink you or bewitch you or be bamboozling you. I want you to know straightforward what I'm saying. And I'm not saying things to be hateful, but I'm saying things to those who are members of the Church of Christ and those who are not members of the Church of Christ. If the shoe fit, put it on. If it don't fit, don't you worry about it, because I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to you if it fits your feet. Amen. You know what size shoe you wear. And you know when it fits and when it don't. So here's my thing. It's not accidental when people are seeking truth. God will provide. And, you know, you can be entertaining an angel unaware. And so Philip, this angel goes to him. And here he is. He got an opportunity to do something. And notice this. We want to remember this. Those of us who are in the Church of Christ, those of us who know the truth, we believe the Bible is right. We believe in the one church, the one Lord, and one baptism. And we believe that if you do what God said in this book called the Bible, and that person is seeking truth, we got the truth without doubt. No one can successfully defeat us in doctrine. Why? We preach what the Bible says. We speak what the Bible speaks, and we're silent where the Bible is silent. Amen. And strong Church of Christ preachers, I say strong because some are not strong, strong Church of Christ preachers will preach this truth without addition or subtraction, nor fear, nor favor. No one, not even members of the church. We don't favor people. When they're wrong, they are wrong. The question is, when will people obey the truth? When they are seeking truth, and when their will is to do the will of God. See, some people are self-willed, and they want to do their will, and they want God to comply with their own wills and desires to be saved. That ain't work. Now, here in this text, in Acts chapter 8, verse 27, this Philip, first of all, you think of yourself, if you're a member of the Lord's church, think of yourself as the Philip in the story. If you're not a member of the Church of Christ, think of yourself as the man in the story. And he says in verse 27, and he arose and went. That's Philip. That's the preacher. That's you. That's the member of the Church of Christ. Behold, a man of Ethiopia. Here's that other man. This man is not saved. He's a man of Ethiopia. He's a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. And he who had charge of all of her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for worship. Now, watch this. Now, let's break this down. This Philip is sent. The angel told him it was providential. God provided for this man in the desert. This man was an Ethiopian, a man from Africa. This man was a eunuch, a male who does not desire a woman sexually. That's what a eunuch is. In Matthew 19:11, Jesus said, all men cannot receive this thing, save they to whom it is given. In other words, all men cannot be eunuchs. They cannot go without a wife. In verse 12, Jesus said, only Matthew 19, go there. Verse 12, Jesus said this, for there are some eunuchs which were born from the mother womb. In other words, they had no desire since they were born for a woman. They don't mean they had a desire for a man. That's not what he suggested here now. A eunuch is someone who is normal. A man who wants another woman, man, is not normal. That's inordinate affection. In other words, anytime a man desires sexual relationship with another man, or a woman desires sexual relationship with another woman, that's not natural. In other words, if you don't believe that's not natural, then you look at the animals of the world. You never see a male bull seeking a male bull and cows. The male and the female go together. That's what God put together. But man has a desire to do whatever he wanted to do. God gave him free will. So anytime somebody says, I desire a woman who desires a woman, she desires because that's her own fleshly desire. That's what it is. So like men who want to be with men. the normal men and women want men want a woman, and a woman want a man. So in this case, this man was born without the desire from his mother womb for whatever reason, whether it was a physical thing, he had no desire from a mother's womb. But there are some eunuchs which are male eunuchs. In other words, you know, castration. And you know what that means. And so when a man is castrated, he's not going to desire no woman because everything that causes desire is gone. And there are some who made themselves eunuchs. Notice for the kingdom's sake. They did it because they didn't want the interference of thinking about a woman to come in their life because they wanted to be in the kingdom's sake. Some men do this. He is able to receive it. Jesus said, let him receive it. If a man desire, he want to give his life to God. And even a woman who want to give her life to God and don't want to have nothing to do with a man, then she too can give her life to the Lord. He can give his life to the Lord. If you can do it, great. But it's not required. Not required. I know some men on this call saying, thank God it's not required. Amen. But the Bible says, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, the Bible says there, and notice this in verse 1, now concerning the things you wrote there, it's good for a man not to touch a woman. 1 Corinthians 7, 1. Nevertheless, he said, to avoid fornication, that's 6, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife and every woman her own husband. So it goes a man and a woman, a husband and a wife. That's how you satisfy sexual desires. Now, Jesus said, if you're able to do that, that's fine. Paul said, hey, divorce the problem, and you go get your wife, you go get your husband. It's just that simple. Now, let's go back to the text. Now, so Philip arose and went, a man of Ethiopia, eunuch of great authority, and the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all of her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem to worship. So this man of Ethiopia had great authority. Obviously, he was a high-ranking officer. The reason I say he was an officer, he worked for the queen. This man of Ethiopia worked for Candace. She's the queen of the Ethiopians. This man was in charge of all her treasure, which means to me, if the queen of the Ethiopians give this man charge of all her treasure, this man had to be trustworthy. This man had to be somewhat of an accountant, a spiritual man, someone she could trust that wasn't going to take her money and steal it or misuse it in that kind of way. This man of Ethiopia, notice what it said, he had charge of all of her treasure. She totally trusted this man, which means he was a good man, obviously. He had come to Jerusalem for to worship. What does that mean, Brother Brooks? He was obviously a believer in God. So there was Judaism at that time. He went all the way to Jerusalem to worship. Now, when I'm looking at this, they say, some say, now I've never been there, some say it's 1,500-mile trip in a chariot from Ethiopia to Jerusalem, which says this man, boy, he was serious trying to get to Jerusalem to worship. What a desire he must have had to serve God. Now, notice in verse 28, he's returning and sitting in a chariot. His chariot read Isaiah the prophet. This man of Ethiopia is reading Isaiah. Now, Isaiah comes from what we call the Bible. You read the word Bible in the Bible. It's scripture. So it's the scripture. Well, Bible means a library of books. That's where we get the word Bible from, 66 books. It's a library of books, and they're all composed into what we call the Bible, compiled, rather, in what we all call the Bible. Now, so he was returning and sitting in his chair, and he read Isaiah, which is in the Old Testament, Isaiah the prophet. So when one is serious, notice what the first thing we notice about this. Let's just break down his character. He's a man who's trustworthy. He's got good character. This man is a believer in God. This man believes in Scripture. He's a believer in Scripture. How do you know that, brother? He's reading the Scripture. That's the first sign of someone who believes. They start to read to understand. When one is serious about worshiping God, they're going to be found reading Scripture. Why? This book contains the Word of God, the mind of God. Is there someone this morning? You've been reading the Scripture. You've been reading. Have you been reading? This man read Isaiah. And noticing when a person is reading, they will be found reading. And the Spirit then tells Philip, verse 29, Spirit is leading him, go near and join yourself to the chariot. In other words, the Spirit tells him to go, Philip, go get on the chariot with that man. Chariot is where the horse would be pulling it, and there were seats on it. So my vision of it is that he wouldn't sit by it. And Philip ran. What is verse number 30? Ran. Why would Philip run to this man? Philip knew it was urgent that he get to this man. And he heard him. I mean, this man reading out loud. He heard this man reading Isaiah and said, in other words, he asked him, you understand now what you're reading? You understand this. Not everyone who reads Scripture will understand everything they read. And he said, this man was honest. Now, how can I except some man guide me? That's a question. He came back to Philip. The man, look here. This man realized, I don't quite understand everything, and I need guidance. And when people are seeking the truth, and some of us in the Church of Christ, we get disturbed over people who you talk to them over and over, and they still like they confused. And they don't. There are people, these folks, some folks do not want to obey the truth. They're not seeking truth. They have no desire to be guided by truth. And so we get all shook up, and I know why, because we love these people, or we're in a relationship with these people, or they're our family members and people that we love and care about. But the frustration that we have creates a lack of understanding. Well, is a result of a lack of understanding that it is not your job to find the person who's seeking truth. It is our job to teach those and leave it up to God to find who it is. Now, if an individual do not have a desire to be saved, they will never be saved. They will never be saved. If a person that you're trying to teach, no matter how close you are, it could be your mama, your grandmother, your grandfather, your husband, your wife, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your son, your daughter, it don't matter who it is you are. If he or she doesn't have the desire to be guided, they're not listening to you. They're not listening to you. They're not going to listen to. They have a desire. So don't get all frustrated and shook up over it. Just keep living the life. And when they're ready, they'll listen. He desired, this man was ready. He desired Philip to guide him, man. And Philip has got it. He's going to guide him. My question to anybody listening, there's some things you got to ask them. People who are on the call that have not been saved, or you believe you're saved, and at the end I'm going to show you that you're not saved. This man was a man who was going to worship. All these things were going on in him. But God sent another man to him. So my question to you is this. Do you read? Do you understand what you read? Do you desire guidance? When you desire guidance, will you obey what the Scripture says? Those are the only people going to be saved. The dope people who read, to understand, and desire to be guided. So why you say that, brother? Because Jesus gave the command to the disciples to go teach all day. It's up. Everyone needs to be understanding. 2 Timothy says, 2:15, study to show thyself approved. See, we have to study, mean be students. You're not going to learn anything by being the teacher yourself. You got to learn by being a student. When people need to know what to do to be saved, they have never been used by it. Pick it up and just start reading. You pick up one scripture, you think you know everything now because you read one scripture. You are self-taught. That don't make you right because you're self-taught. You have to be taught. That's what Jesus said in John 6:44. He said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. Verse 45, and it is written in the prophets, they shall all be, notice, taught of God, and every man that had heard what they were taught. And number 3, had learned. So they taught, they heard, and they learned. And that's what has to happen to be saved. You have to be taught. You have to hear what you're taught. You have to learn. And so many people are lost today because they think they can teach themselves, and they can't. They can't do it. It wasn't designed for you to teach yourself. It was designed for you. God gave preachers, elders, those teachers for the purpose of teaching the people like Philip here. Now, watch verse 32, Acts 8. That was John 6, 44, 45, for those who may have missed the scripture. Verse 32, the place of what? The scripture. So he was reading scripture, as I said. The place of the scripture, which he read, talking about the eunuch, was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment were taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. See, this man is reading Isaiah, that's actually chapter 53, verse 7 through 8 in the Old Testament. That's in your Old Testament. You go over there and read it, you'll find that very scripture right there. So he's reading Old Testament. And he said, why is he reading Old Testament? Because there was no New Testament at the time. At that time, the New Testament was just going to be written by the apostles. That's why we call it the New Testament. Jesus had to die to start this new way, this new followers would call Christians. There were no Christians in the Old Testament. That's why you don't see us using instrument of music and sacrificing bulls and goats and doing all the things that, no, that's all Old Testament stuff. But the Old Testament teaches us things that we need to know. And in this case, it was teaching, the scripture was teaching about Jesus. And the eunuch answered Philip. And then he asked him a question, verse 34. He said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh this prophet? See, he could read it, but he didn't know who is he talking about, of himself. Is this prophet talking about himself or some other man? This man of Ethiopia asked a basic question to Philip the preacher. Who was Isaiah talking about? You know, when a person is sincere and honest, they say, what does that mean to be baptized for the remission of sins? What does it mean when he says one church? Folk who are sincere and honest, just know I don't understand what you're teaching. So that's what he was doing. And Philip opened his mouth. Look at this. Verse 35. And again, we're at the same tree. So you say, brother, where do I start at with somebody who's seeking? You start with scripture. If a person don't believe the Bible, let me say this clearly. And to those on the call listening, if a person do not believe the scripture, you can't help them quoting scripture. It starts with their belief in scripture. No one would be saved that don't believe in the scripture. Why? They're not going to obey it. You can't force me to believe in scripture. I gave this person Isaiah 53 and I gave them Acts 2:38 and I gave them a feast. They don't believe in scripture. If you got to give a person 10 times where it says baptism, they got to have 10 proofs. This same person would say, well, I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe in one church. Then that came from the same scripture. But that tells me they don't believe it. They don't believe it. This man asked a basic question. The Philip responded at the same scripture, preached unto him, he preached to him Jesus. So he started there. This man is talking about a man named Jesus. He just simply told him, he said, talk about Jesus. When he said he led us sheep to the slaughter, Philip is telling us, talk about Jesus. His life was humiliated and taken away. He talked about Jesus. So, is there somebody on the call today who needs to know about Jesus? What do you need to know? You need to know that he was led as sheep to the slaughter. In other words, he didn't fight. He didn't fight dying for you. This is very simple. He's reading about Jesus Christ who didn't fight being killed to save him. This is the Jesus they're talking about, the one who hung on the old rugged cross. The Jesus that died on the cross that we can read about. None of us saw him die on the cross. How do we know? Scripture. How do we know where he died at? In Jerusalem. Scripture. How do we know what they did to him? Scripture. How did our faith come in him? It had to come from Scripture because you didn't see it. Faith coming by hearing. This is what amazes me in hearing about the word of God. What amazes me when people say, I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe in baptism. That's an oxymoron. It doesn't work. How can you believe in Jesus and you never saw it? It's in the book. They tell us what Jesus said is in the same book. Why don't you get that? How can you say you believe in Jesus and you don't believe in everything else in the book? That's simply amazing when I think about it. Not that it's funny. Just like people just, it's that ignorance. You're going to ignore the truth. Ignorance is not a bad word, by the way. Paul said in Romans 10, he said, brother, my heart's desire and prayer of the Israel is that they might be saved, for I bear their record. They got a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They've been ignorant of God's righteousness, they're going about to establish their own. So you can ignore what the scripture says if you want to, but they're not going to do you no good on the day of judgment. So somebody said, well, Brother Brooks, this man was talking about Jesus, all he used was true scripture. Well, how many scriptures you need to start to start believing in Jesus? Well, you got to start with the scripture. If you start with believing in the scripture, you won't have no problem believing in Jesus. There's a lot of people in this world who don't believe in Jesus. Buddhists don't believe in Jesus. The Muslims don't believe in Jesus. Why, they don't use the same book we use? Even the Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe in Jesus. But they got a Bible. That's called the world's, New World's Translation, y'all. And they took Jesus and made him a little God. They don't see Jesus as the Son of God who can save the world. That's not what they see. The Jehovah's Witnesses are just as wrong as the Muslims. He said, Brother Brooks, don't call names. Well, that's why I'm the preacher. Because I have to give an account. Sure, I'm a caller. Sure, we have to see. You got people need to know. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:3, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, whom the God of this world hath blinded the mind of them, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. When people are in the dark, you have to tell them the light. You have to show the light. Yeah, that's what we're supposed to do. Tell them. Y'all heard that song. Many of you have been in the Church of Christ. You never mentioned him to me. That's a sad song to me. You saw me day by day. You knew I was astray, but you never mentioned him to me. Boy, that's going to be a sad moment, dear Jim. Somebody standing there that you love and you never even mentioned it. Ain't that something? Let's get back to the study. Jesus gave this command that Philip is now preaching. He's going to preach to this man from Ethiopia. So what did Jesus say preach? And let's see if Philip knew it. In Mark 16:15, Jesus gave the command, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. Every preacher today should preach what Philip preached this day in that desert. We'll say, Brother Brooks, the Bible only says in verse 35 that Philip preached Jesus. That's right. You're right. It doesn't say he preached, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And I understand what you're saying, but you need to understand if you were a good Bible student, you would understand this. That the Bible teaches in three different ways. Direct command, necessary, what is called necessary implied or necessarily inferred, direct command, necessary inference, or example. Direct command, Mark 16:15, go teach the gospel. He that believes in the Bible, that's a direct command of Jesus. A necessary inference is this example right here. It only says he preached Jesus. Now, so you got to read the rest of the story to find out what all happened when he preached Jesus. So when you do that, you're going to find out what necessarily implied or inferred when you preached Jesus, this man preached Jesus. There's something, he had to tell him something that wasn't wrote here, but we see because of the actions of him, what happened after he preached Jesus, that some of the things that he must have told him. Now, the third way is example. For example, the reason we take the Lord's Supper every Sunday is because the Bible gives an example in Acts 20, verse 7, that up on the first day of the week, which is Sunday, the disciples came together to break bread. That's talking about communion there. We also use the same example, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, that when the assembly, when they came together, Paul then told them, on the first day of the week, he said, let every one of you lay by a store. They took a collection on the first day of the week. So, okay, So when you come or when you're on this call for worship this morning, we sing, we pray, we give, collection is taken. What day do we take collection? On the first day of the week. What day is the first day of the week? Well, we call it Sunday. The Bible never says Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. It says one, today, one, day two, day three, day four, day seven. So one through seven. So on day one, there's an example of what the Christians did. And if you're on the call and you're not doing this, that means you're not a Christian. On day one, which we call Sunday, they took the communion. Not on the day one of the month. Not on the day one of the month. The day one of every week, upon the first day of the week. So every week has a first day in it, which means every week has a Sunday. So what did the Christians do on Sunday when they worship? They sing, they pray, they would give, take collection, and they took communion, and they heard the preacher word. That's what you learn in the Churches of Christ. And every Sunday, we're going to take a collection. Every Sunday, we're going to take communion. While you're doing that, brother, we're following the example of the Christians and what they did in the New Testament. So that's how the Bible teaches us. Now, the direct command to communion is Jesus said, this you do in remembrance of me. So that's a direct command. He's talking about communion. So the direct command is you do it. The example we find, when did the disciples do it? On the first day that we on Sunday. There's direct command, there is example. Now, this is what we learn the third one at. Now, verse 36, as they went on their way, so he's preaching Jesus, he's in the chariot with him. He's telling them about Jesus. He said, who is this man you're talking about? He said, Jesus. He preached Jesus. And the eunuch says, see, it went on their way, they came unto certain water. Water. You know what water is, don't you? Drinking water. Bathing water. Pools. Creeks got water in it. There's some water here. But it's in the desert. Interesting, isn't it? They went on their way, they came unto certain water. And the eunuch said, so the man asked this question. He said, the eunuch said, see, here's water. That's my towel right there. See, when you tell a person they got to be baptized in water, and they're serious, they said, man, there's some water here. And then he asked the second question, once he saw the water, he said, what does hinder me, or what's stopping you from being baptized? So what's stopping you from doing what you told me that this man Jesus told you to tell me? That's what he's saying. Here's the necessary inference. Now we can say, when Philip preached Jesus, he had to tell this Ethiopian eunuch that he had to be baptized in water. He had to be specific. That, man, you got to be baptized in water to know this Jesus. He had to tell him that. How you know? We just read it. The man come to water and said, here's the water that was stopping you from being baptized. Now, I need to remind you right here. God provided for this man because he was seeking truth. The man of Ethiopia had driven 1,500 miles in Jerusalem to worship God. But notice this. He wasn't saved. Why was it? What do you mean, brother? If he had been saved already, God wouldn't have sent Philip to him. He'd have been okay. He just let him go home. But God sent Philip to him. And Philip joined himself to that man. This man in Ethiopia, no, let's look at him. He was a religious man. He had to be. He had went to worship. But lost. He was not a Christian. See, that tells me right there. You could be on this call today. Thinking you saved and lost. This man, Abijah, didn't know he was lost and not a Christian. So what are you saying? He was spiritual but lost. He was trustworthy but lost. He was smart enough to take care of that money, but he was lost. He was a reader of the Bible, of the Scripture. But he was still lost. He went to worship. In today's terms, he went to church. But lost. You know how many people going to a church building, they still lost? They don't know the truth. Many people today are just like this man. I call them honest, sincere believers. They are religious, just like this man, thinking they are saved, but still lost. I always tell people, I was talking to someone the other day, and I said, the saddest scripture in the Bible, one that I had the difficulty overcoming, Matthew chapter 7, when I first became a Christian. Matthew 7:21. Jesus said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. These are not Muslims or Buddhists or somebody, Hindus, people like that. These are not people. See, those folks don't have, they don't even claim to believe in Jesus. These people, here that he's talking about, are those who claim to be Jesus, those who actually believe in Jesus. It'd be like Baptists believe in Jesus, Methodists believe in Jesus, Catholics believe in Jesus, Episcopals believe in Jesus, Methodists believe in Jesus, Pentecostals believe in Jesus. But look what he says, Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, they call him their Lord. To enter the kingdom of heaven, he didn't do the will of my Father. Notice that. They're not going to heaven. But he said, many were saying to me today, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out devils? And in your name done many wonderful works? These are honest, sincere people who were believers in Jesus. But the shock is in verse 23. Jesus said this, I will profess unto them, I never knew you. You are a worker of iniquity. What does that mean? I put it simply. They went about making their own law and doing whatever they thought was right to be saved. They never went to the scripture to do what the scripture said. So they had iniquities, lawlessness. You follow the law that God didn't. You know, it's like America. You're the American citizen. You need to believe in the law, you know. Here's what it is. If you believe in the story of the law, when the police all say stop in the name of the law, you stop. You don't shoot back. You come up with your own law. When you believe in law and you believe in authority, then you follow the law. That's it. And when you don't follow the law, there's a ticket. You get penalized. You get put in jail and you get thrown a ticket. That's why people get handcuffed. They didn't follow the law. And so if you're going to be handcuffed on the day of judgment and lose your soul, it's because you didn't follow the law. What law are you talking about? Scripture. Bible. Whatever God said, you better be doing it. You better be baptized. You best be in the Church of Christ. You best be taking the Lord's Supper every Sunday. You best be walking a straight, narrow line. There's no room for error here. Well, but God's grace is going to save you. No, obedience. God gave his only son to save you. He expects you to obey him. And God told us to remember his son by the taking of the Lord's Supper. You're not doing it. And you expect to go to that father and watch his child get beat up and hung on a cross. And you're going to get away with not communing every Sunday, remember him when he commanded it. This you do in remembrance of me. And then you expect to go to heaven. It's not going to happen. Not if you believe in the Bible. So what is my point here, brother? That this man was seeking truth. And when people are seeking truth, they will not have a problem with baptism or church or anything. They won't have a problem with water baptism. I mean, look what happens here. This man should have told Philip, man, what's in anywhere? Here's the water. He told me I got to do baptism. What's stopping you from doing it? Philip said, verse 37, it's a condition. If thou believest, start and always continuing, but all thy heart. Now notice this, it's not a partial belief system. Now, I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe in that. That's 50%. You're halfway there, but you ain't all the way. So that's not all your heart. I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe in the one church. I just know I can't buy that. Well, you're not a believer. You don't believe with all your heart. That's your problem. When you're a believer with all of your heart, you believe everything you read. You don't believe some of it, not all of it. And he answered and said, Philip said, you believe? He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And if you believe he's the Son of God, then you believe he was God's Son. You believe that he gave us the truth. You believe that he told us what to do because you believe he was God's son. And if you believe that, your question that Philip asked him, you can get baptized if you believe. But if a person don't believe, obviously there's no need to baptize him. Do you believe with all your heart? He answered. Notice what he answered. He didn't say yes. He just said, I believe specifically. So when we baptize people, how high? We say, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son? They say yes. We say, we want to hear you say it. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son. If that's what you would have to say. That would happen before you get baptized. Then and only after you make that confession can we baptize you. Now, some today, I picked up a little pamphlet one time in a store, went to the restroom, they laid these in there. What I do, he said, hey, I'm going to just read it to you. People just ignore what the Bible says. He said, it just wrote, he said, you can be saved right now. It doesn't matter if you're in a church building or not. The most important thing that you mean in your heart. Let me read it again. The most important thing is that you mean it in your heart. Mean what? That you want to be saved. If you're serious, they say, and want to make Jesus Lord of your life, here's what you do. Pray a simple prayer like this. Here you go. Now, ready? Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and need forgiveness. I believe that you are God's son and that you died on the cross for my sins. Right now, I confess with my mouth that you are Lord of my life. From today on, I want to live my life for you. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Now, that's what they told you to say. Now, why didn't Philip tell that man? All you got to do is just go tell Jesus you love me. He didn't do that. He didn't do none of this. This man was told this. This is what comes from people today. This is people who want an easy way. They don't want to do what God said. They want to come up. That's what he nicked with. Those are the people that's going to get shot on their judgment. And all those who mislead them. Blind leading the blind. You can't ever say you heard that from Brother Brooks. I'm telling you right now, I'll never tell you that. Why? In John 9:31, God said, this we know, God heareth not sinners. That's called a sinner's prayer right there. And that's what most Baptist people are taught. And I don't say that to be put down on Baptist faith, but that's a faith to my family. Many of my family members are still in that belief system, but it's wrong. That's not what God told us to do, y'all. And I love them all. I talk about my family. You decide to talk about children. But the fact is, this stuff that they're telling us to do, but Philip never told this man none of that stuff with that what's on this pamphlet here. I took the pamphlet out of the bathroom and brought it with me so nobody else would read that thing. Only men but filled with lies. You can't be saved by doing that. They say it don't matter whether you're in the church or not. Come on, what the Bible said in Acts 2:47? Praising God and having faith with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily that you should be saved. See, that's just totally contradicts what the Bible says. Now, let's move toward closure. Now, notice what happened in verse 38. He commanded the chariot to stand still. So they're riding, you know, I said, whoa, stop the horses. They went down. Notice the process. They both, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water. You can imagine this in your eyes. There's a creek or a pond or something there. Somebody said it was a creek. I don't know. They went down into the water. It means they didn't take a cup of water and pour it on his head. They didn't dip in the water. They both, the preacher and the man, went into the water. Going into the water means they had to step inside of it, in the water. And both Philip and the eunuch, now when they got in the water, he baptized him. So he had to go into the water to baptize him. Immediately upon hearing the man say, confession, I believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God. At that point, Philip stopped. Philip said, okay, now it's time to baptize. Now that I know you believe with all your heart in Jesus Christ, Son of God, it's time for me to carry out the second point. Now, what did he carry out? Back to what Jesus said in Mark, the command Jesus gave in Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He's in the world. He's in the desert. He's preaching the gospel to him. He doesn't believe in any of that time, shall I be saved. That's what Jesus said. So that's what Philip preached to him. So why did he wait 2 weeks? Why did he say, well, you know, you say right now, we're going to baptize, I'll come back 2 weeks from now, and we'll baptize you all. I'm going to go get some more people make sure we got enough people. That's what they do in the Baptist church. And, well, when we got enough candidates, we're going to schedule a day to baptize everybody. The same thing they do in Gilwood. They wait once a year and baptize everybody once a year. Wow, they don't believe in the command of Jesus gave. Don't y'all get that point? They don't believe in this. They don't believe you got to be baptized. They don't believe you got to be baptized the same day. They believe you're saved when you say, Lord, I believe in you. They believe you're saved as soon as you believe. They don't wait no 2 weeks. They don't wait no three weeks or a year to baptize that man. Philip said, man, he stopped right then, and he baptized that man on the spot. Same thing happened in Acts chapter 2. They baptized 3,000 on the same day. They baptized 3,000 souls, Acts 2 and verse 41. And then they were glad to see the word were baptized the same day, Acts 2:41. They were added to them, added to the apostles and the disciples. 3,000 more people on the same day. Why would they go to all that trouble if all they had to do was pray? Why would they go to all that trouble if all these people just believed in the Lord Jesus? Why Peter didn't tell them that? Why did they go to that trouble and baptize 3,000 people on the same day? Man, you got to use some common sense. Some of this stuff is not something you got to be really highly educated to get. You know, most people wouldn't take that, go to that extent. Why? Because no one is saved until they're baptized, 1 Peter 3:21. Baptism also now saves us. Now, let me drop this on you. If you were baptized before, that don't mean you were saved. Well, I'm baptized, but Brooks, I'm already a Christian. I was baptized at an early age. I got baptized when I was 11. I did too. I got baptized when I was 11, not because I believed in Jesus, not because I read the Bible. I didn't do none of that. I didn't get baptized because that's what you're supposed to do. When you learn better, you do better. I got baptized again when I was 24. I got baptized again when I was 25, excuse me. Why did I get baptized again? Because I finally read for myself what baptism was for and realized my first baptism, it didn't do me no good. I just got wet. Went down a dry devil, came up a wet one. I wasn't saved. Well, I didn't obey no truth. There was no truth in what I was taught. Ain't no truth in what you were taught. Just because you were baptized does not mean you're saved. How do you say that, brother? There's only one true baptism, Ephesians 4:4-6. There's one baptism. That's what the Bible says. There's one baptism. What is that one baptism? It must be based on truth. And one baptism. So you're still lost. You're not saved. But you can't say you didn't know. Because Brother Brooks told you. And I'm showing you in the scripture that Jesus commanded baptism. He didn't command sinner's prayer or accept Jesus in your heart like we did. He didn't do nothing. He didn't command none of that. It's a man. So if you want to be, if you've been seeking the truth, you've been kind of listening to our call and everything that I'm saying kind of hitting you every time because you know what? You might be that person that's in the seeking mode and you're just not getting it. That, man, God has given me everything I've been asking for. I've been looking for truth. I've been seeking truth. And I've been praying about it. I know you've been praying, but it ain't because of your prayers. No, it's not because of your prayers. I want you to turn to 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7. Not because of your prayers that God, that you're listening to me this morning. It's not a prayer. It's not a response to your prayer. Believe what God said. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or the height of his stature, because I have refused him. Notice, here's the part I want you to get. For the Lord see it, not as man see it, which I can't see nothing you thinking. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And as a man thinking in his heart, so is he. So what do God see? You don't have to pray for God to know you seeking truth. That's one of my point here. When you seek truth, God seeks you. How do you know that, brother? Jesus said it in John chapter 4, verse 23. Look at what he says there. And I'm closing. John 4:23. The hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers, notice who? The true worship shall worship who? The Father, talking about Jesus' Father, in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Don't miss this point. See, and the church Christ men really need to get this point, or you will be the scariest teacher people. God do not seek people who don't seek to be true worshipers. He's not seeking them. He only seeks people who seek and are searching for true worship, not people who are searching to do what they want to do. Those who are seeking true worship God will provide you and me to them because we teach them truth. And the blessing to you on the call today, if you've been listening and you've been in a seeking mode, what I'm saying to you is this, listen real carefully. I don't know nothing about your life. I can tell you this, you were born on a certain day and you're going to die on a certain day. And for some reason right now, don't miss your blessing. God is reading your mind like none of us can. And you might be you are now seeking him to be a true worshiper. You're not accidentally listening to Tommy Brooks. I'm the Philip, and you are the eunuch. And this is your blessing today. You were born, you'll live till you die. And it may be that you got cancer. It may be that you're going to die soon. It may be that something's going on in your life and you are in a mode of seeking because something is going on bad in your life. And you say, I want to know God for myself. I want to obey the truth. I don't want to lose my soul. And that's why your family member invited you to this call this morning. That's why you're listening, because it's between you and God now. It ain't between you and your girlfriend, your boyfriend who invited you, or your friend or your cousin or your mom or your dad, your sister, your brother, or your uncle, your aunt, uncle, who it is. God just used them because he read your mind. Now, here's your blessing. When God has his back to you, he ain't listening to you. But there comes a day when God, you trying to find the truth? It's one thing, I always say this, it's one thing when you're looking for God, but it's a whole different day when God turns and says, okay, you ready? I see you're looking for truth. And that's why you meet Brother Brooks this morning. If you're on this call, it might be only one soul on this call. And that's where you're at. You say, well, Brother Brooks, why now? I don't know. I won't touch that. I won't touch that. Because it might be tonight's your last night. I won't touch that one. I don't know why. I don't know what you're going through. But I know who's the helicopter on the parade of your life. You know, helicopter hub is on the parade, right? He can see the beginning of the parade and the end of the parade. And he can see the section of the parade that you are in. You can't see the back and you can't see the front. God sees your parade. He sees where you're at in your life, and you're either near the end of it or you're in the middle of a storm that you need God and you're trying to get out of that thing. And God is saying, I'm not seeking you until you seek me to be a true worshiper. And is that you? You say, well, that's me, Brother Brooks. I'm going to tell you this. There's no greater day in your life than the day God seeks you. So what do you need to do? What did this man do? Here's what he did. And the preacher told him what to do. Philip commanded the chariot to stand still. I mean, they stopped. They both went into the water, Philip and the eunuch, the man and the preacher. He baptized him. That's what Jesus told him to do. When they come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. God provided for him, and Philip went on his way. The eunuch saw him no more. So he was done with him. He went on to the next lost soul. That's what I do. If I baptize, I'm going to try to find somebody else. That's what I love to do. I pray one day that's all I can do. They just baptize for me. It's my prayer. Y'all pray for me. I want to preach as much as I can. Baptize as many people I can. That's what I want to do. And he went on his way, rejoicing. Philip was found at Agathos. He preached in all the cities. He just kept preaching, baptized and kept on going. Well, what a blessing that is. Baptized, go get more. Keep going, get more and more and more. I'm trying to put as many on my number, under my name, as I can, y'all. I'm trying to cover much through the sin. What are you saying, brother? Saving people helps us get saved. Don't you know that? It's a command to give God. also another meaning, covered by meaning that not alone can do, can cover. Not necessarily your sin. You got to repent, confess, those type of things. Be baptized. But here's the thing. If we are teaching souls and saving souls, that's credited to us. But it's also credited when we don't. It's not a good credit. Ezekiel chapter 3. We don't warn the wicked. Their blood would be on our shoulders. That's why I wouldn't be a preacher and play with this. I really wouldn't. I advise anybody, don't play around with this preaching stuff and just saying you're a Christian. You don't want to be careful about all these things. You're playing around with people's souls and stuff. That's why I'm very careful about that. You know, I'm not trying to, I don't want to portray anybody. I got it all together. I'm just putting, man, no. That's not what we're dealing with. We're dealing with people that need Jesus. We're also dealing with a God who presented us as the one who's going to tell them, like he told Ezekiel, son, man, I have made thee a watchman to the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word of my mouth and give them warning. That's Ezekiel 3:17. He said, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked ways to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I require at your hand. That's dangerous. Yes, if I warn the wicked, if you warn the wicked, he turned out from his wickedness, nor from his wicked ways, he shall die in his wickedness. But thou hast delivered our soul. That's exactly what I'm talking about. See, if I'm telling you I'm delivering my soul, that blood is not on my shoulder. That's why when people come on my car and they listen to me, I'm not trying to make it well. Oh, I hope you don't get upset at me. No, man, I'm trying to warn you. It's on you if you don't want to believe it. I'm trying to make sure I don't get my own soul in trouble. Somebody ought to respect that. People respect. People who really seriously respect that. So now he tell that man, he said, look here. Philip went on his way rejoicing. Then he went on preaching on to other people. He went on to other people. Baptism at that point was commanded. It's commanded today if you want to call today and I preach to you Jesus. When do you preach Jesus? What do you say when you preach Jesus? You know, it's golden text, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not, not shall not. Should not perish. Oh, you know, many quote that today, shall not. You probably quoted and misquoted what I was quoting. Shall not is not in the scripture. Should not. You should not perish if you do what Jesus told you to do. For God sent his Son not into this world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. John 3:16-17. Now, to be saved, one must believe that God sent his Son, and they must believe that his Son came and lived on this earth about 33 years. That he was called Jesus. You got to believe that. You got to believe he was born of a Virgin Mary. You got to believe he walked and did all these miracles and things that the Bible said he did. You got to believe that he stood before Pilate. And Pilate said, I found no fault with him. You can read that in the scripture. You got to believe that Pilate had him whipped with a whip, brutally beaten. You got to believe that they hung, they put a crown of thorns on his head. You got to believe that they put the tree on his back. You got to believe that they put him. Took him to Calvary and they executed him by crucifixion. You got to believe that they drove a nail in his right hand, a nail in his left hand, and a nail in his feet. You got to believe that he hung on that cross for 6 long hours, suffering in pain and agony. You got to believe all of that. You never saw none of it with your eyes. Why? Your faith is developed on the scripture, from the reading the scripture. That's why you can believe in Jesus. Now, if you believe that part about Jesus, then you believe in the gospel. Because the gospel is good news that God loved you that much, that he would send his Son, and his Son loved you that much, that he would go through all that to die and save you. Now, when you believe that, that'll prick you in your heart, because you will know that, man, you are not worthy because you are a sinner. You know how much wrong you did, and God overlooked all that wrong and sent a Savior, sent his only Son to go through this horrific and painful death for you, and you'll believe that. You'll say, men and brothers, what can I do to be saved? And I tell you what Peter told them, they're Pentecost. Repent and be baptized. So repent of your wrong and be baptized. Why? That's what Jesus told us to tell you. Yeah, if you want to be baptized, you're on this call today. Number one, you have to hear the gospel. This is the plan of salvation. Acts 15:7, you hear the word of the gospel. Number two, believe in the same word. They come by hearing by the word of God. What's in the word of God? The good news. What's in the good news? Jesus died for your sin. What's also in the Bible? The bad news. There's some bad news. All of it is good news. Some of it is bad news. Bad news is that you could die in your sin. You can't go to heaven. Bad news is there's a lake of fire. Bad news is a place called hell. Bad news. It's all bad. The good news in the Bible is related to the crucifixion, the cross. It's related to the cross, because that's the good news, that you can avoid hell, you can avoid losing your soul, you can avoid dying in sin, you can be forgiven. That's the good news. That's the good news. You can't get the good news unless you believe he actually did all that. So you believe it. Number three, you repent. What that means, you got to say, man, I have been wrong all these years. Like, yes, you have. My mom was wrong. Yes, she was. My grandmother was wrong. Yes, she was. Mine too. But there ain't nobody going to stand by me but me. My mom ain't going to be there. She ain't going to stand. Well, I want to fight for my son. Yeah, my mother loved me. She called me her baby. My baby. I leave my baby alone. She stayed. I should love her. My mama said that. You're my grown man. I love her to say that in front of my other sisters and brothers. I'll leave my baby alone. I want to be her baby. My mama ain't gonna be there standing God saying, God, leave my baby alone. She's not gonna be there for me. My mama gonna stand for herself. I'm gonna have to stand for myself. Mama, your grandmother, no matter how good grandma was, she ain't gonna be there with you. You're gonna have to answer for yourself. Why didn't you obey that morning when Brooks taught you? That's what you gotta answer. Those kind of things. You didn't believe it, did you? So you gotta repent. Brother Brooks, I prayed a sinner's prayer. Repent of that. Brother Brooks, I'm not in the Church of Christ. Repent of it. Brother Brooks, I was baptized before, but I thought I was saved. Repent. Now it's time to change. I don't take the Lord's Supper every Sunday. Repent. Repent. Start taking it every Sunday. I'm not in the Church of Christ. Repent and get in it. Stop going the wrong direction. Start going the right direction. That's all repentance. And after that, you confess. What's the confession? What this man said right here, verse 37. I believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God. And when you make that confession, then our charge is to baptize. It's up to us to do that at that point. You can't baptize yourself. We'll jump in the water and come up. We got to take you down, bury you with Christ in baptism, Romans 6:3 through Father, Bishop, and you rise to walk a new life. Now, what are you saying? When all that's said and done, the Lord then will add you to the one church. Which church is it? The Church of Christ. I've said it multiple times in this call. You read it in the Bible, it's all in there. You can't get around it. To save me in the Church of Christ. Not in the Church of Christ, you're not saved. You're not being baptized, you're not saved. You're not taking the Lord's Supper or something, you're not saved. You're not saved. That's all there is to it. Now, here's the good news. Grace is still on your side. Mercy is still on your side. And God's mercy can bring you through. What you going to do? Those on the call this morning, if you want to be saved, not in the Church of Christ, I spoke the truth and love. You hear that gospel this morning. Believe it all of your heart. Repent of sin. Confess it to be a son of God. Hit 5-star on your phone. We'll take that confession over the phone. And we'll meet you at the building. We'll baptize you this morning. We'll take care of that no matter where you are in our listening audience. We'll make sure we get you to the water. We'll get you to the water. Take me to the water. But it's because of God's grace and mercy that you haven't gone away with the COVID-19. Your number ain't, your name ain't in that 400,000 yet. But it's going to be 401 pretty soon. 400,000 they've hit died. How many of them died in their sin? More than likely, the majority. Will you be in that number? You don't have to be. Just hit 5-star on your phone this morning, and we'll make sure we take care of that confession, and we'll take care of that baptism. When you come, a member of the Church of Christ, don't you take life for granted. Just because you are saved, there's no such thing, once saved, always saved. You need to ask God to forgive you. You need to do what you need to do to confess your faults one to another. We need to be praying for each other, you all. None of us need to look down on nobody else. We all need Jesus. I need Jesus. You need Jesus. I need forgiveness. You need forgiveness. Lord, help us all. We all need help. America needs help. The whole world is in trouble. And the problem ain't nobody, individual. Now, it's the problem not Trump. The problem is not Biden. The problem not the Russian, Putin. It's not him. The problem is sin. Hear me careful. The problem is sin, which means all of us are part of the problem for this world. How do we make this world better? Get Christians to live as Christians and make new Christians. And so those of us who are Christians, we need to live as Christians. And those of you who are not Christians, you need to become a Christian. That's how we improve this situation. And then we pray for those who haven't obeyed, that they will before you turn it too late. If you're on the call this morning, this is your time. 5-star on your phone. If you need prayer, you want me to confess, or you want to be baptized at this time,